Last month, we heard the sad news of the death of Ewald Ozers at his home in England at the age of 94. Born in Prague at a time when it was still part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Ozers was an outstanding linguist and a brilliant translator. Over the decades, he translated dozens of Czech writers and poets into English and was equally well known for his translations from German. David Vaughan looks back at a fascinating life.
I was lucky enough to meet Ewald Ozers on several occasions in Prague, and each time I was struck by his boyish enthusiasm, even though at the time he was already well into his 80s. He simply adored languages, picking them up, as one fellow translator put it, as easily as catching a cold. And he simply relished the twists and turns that languages take in the course of the years. But what I have always found most extraordinary about Ewald Ozers is that he built his career on translating from his second into his third language. He grew up in a middle-class, German-speaking Jewish family, at home in the multilingual, cosmopolitan, but uneasy environment of Prague between the wars, and had it not been for Hitler, that was probably where he would have stayed. Instead, he left for London in 1938, becoming a refugee when Hitler occupied Prague a few months later. During the war, he enrolled in the BBC monitoring service, at the same time studying Russian at the University of London. In the following 6 decades, he went on to translate many of the best modern Czech writers and poets, including poets Jaroslav Seifert, Miroslav Holub and Jan Skarcel, and the novelist Ivan Klima. In 2007, he published his autobiography, Snows of Yesteryear, A Translator's Story. Here is an interview that I recorded with Ewald Ozers in Prague's Café Slavia in 2001.
I was born in Prague in 1917, and I lived in Prague until the summer of 1938, when about 2 weeks before Munich, I went to England.
And you were born into a German-speaking family?
Yes, my mother was an Austrian from Linz. And my father, although he came from a Prague Jewish family, belonged to the generation which had gone to German schools and mostly spoke German. He knew Czech, but we spoke German at home and went to German schools.
Very often people talk about the cosmopolitan Prague of the 1930s when you were a young man, this Czech, Jewish, German mix. What was it really like? There's a lot of mythologizing about it.
No, I think it existed all right. And there was a fourth stream, the German Jewish refugees who came to Czechoslovakia to escape pre-war Hitlerite Germany. Yes, these different cultures existed. But I think in the generation of my parents, they did not mix very much. They each lived in their own sphere. But my generation made a deliberate effort for integration. And I remember, for instance, that although I have no acting talent, I belong to a dramatic group called German Studentenbühne, and we made contact with a Czech student theatrical group, which was then led by Pavel Tigrid. I think we really worked towards a kind of integration of these different strands of Prague tradition.
And we're sitting today in the Café Slavia. Often when you think of Prague in the 1930s, you imagine café culture. Was it really like that? And for example, did you come here to the Café Slavia?
Not often to the Café Slavia, I think once or twice. More often to the Café Continental on Prikopy, or the Café Alpha on Václavské, or the Café Julisch, which had a very good selection of foreign newspapers. And it was perfectly all right for young students to order a small black coffee and to spend the next 4 hours sitting in the café reading the international press or studying for exams. This was an accepted pattern.
You, as a young man, you believed in this meeting of cultures of the Czech, the German, the Jewish culture. At what point did you realize that things were going to go wrong and you decided to leave the country?
Well, of course, one realized that things were getting worse in Germany, especially after the Kristallnacht. I was studying chemistry then at a German university, and I was the only Jewish student in my year, and the rest of the students were not only not Jewish, but nearly all of them were also Nazis, members of the Henlein Party. And I had a fairly miserable life there towards the end. They would turn off my Bunsen burners or pour something into my experiments. And I realized that certainly I couldn't continue there. So I decided to work on my dissertation in London and then submit it here in Prague at the German University and get my degree. But of course then came Munich and 6 months later the occupation of the rest of Czechoslovakia, and so I became a refugee in England at that time. I didn't leave Czechoslovakia as a refugee yet, but I turned into one in March 39.
And how did you go from being a refugee and a chemist to becoming one of the foremost translators of Czech literature into English?
Well, I realized during my first few months at University College London that I would never be an outstanding chemist. Also, by then, of course, my money supply from Czechoslovakia had stopped in March 39, and I had to look for a job. And I found a post at the BBC, and so I stopped studying chemistry, and after a while returned to my original love, languages, and studied Russian and comparative Slavonic linguistics at the University of London.
And you married an English woman?
And I married an English woman who was a chemist then also at the university. So, I mean, by now I've had 60 years of built-in English conversation. This is how I managed to become a translator and maybe in a small way a writer of English prose and poetry.
And after the Second World War, you decided not to return to Czechoslovakia. Why was that?
Well, I had an English wife and two monolingual English children. And by then I had really come to feel comfortable in England. So I decided not to return.
And how on earth did you achieve becoming an accomplished translator into a language that you only really learned to master as an adult?
Well, this is a difficult question. I don't quite know how one achieves mastery of a language. It was a language I spoke every day, and I think perhaps I have a certain talent for languages. As a teenager, I learned English and French, and I was a very good Latinist at school. And I had been translating ever since my teens. I began translating contemporary Czech and to a lesser degree Slovak poetry into German then, and it was published in the Sunday Cultural Supplement of Praga Presse. So translation seemed to me a perfectly natural activity, and more importantly, I enjoyed doing it.
You've translated many of the foremost writers, Czech writers of the second half of the 20th century, including Ivan Klima, Miroslav Holub, Jaroslav Seifert, many others. Who have you most enjoyed translating?
I enjoyed translating Seifert from the start. And in fact, two of my volumes of Seifert's poetry were published before he even became a candidate for the Nobel Prize. And I enjoy translating Miroslav Holub because he was very easy to translate. His kind of humor, tongue-in-cheek writing, appealed to me. I think I have the same kind of sense of humor that he had.
And what are you working on at the moment?
At the moment I'm working on Jan Skarcel, very much more difficult poet than Holub. Very difficult in terms of interpretation. Even when I ask native Czech speakers to tell me what a particular passage means, I find that they are almost as baffled as I am. But I think I'll get there.
How do you feel about the contemporary state of Czech literature? It doesn't seem to be thriving at the moment, does it?
Well, so people say, but I'm really in no position to form an opinion. I don't read nearly enough, and I read very little contemporary Czech prose.
Why is that?
Time, I think. Somebody told me years ago, you'll have to make up your mind whether you wish to spend your life reading or writing. There isn't time to do both. And I think they were right.
One last question. Where do you feel at home? In which country?
I feel at home in Europe. I spent all my childhood holidays in Austria, and I love the mountains. I was a skier until age 72, when my cardiologist told me it was time for me to hang up my skis. I regret having followed his advice to this day. I always went skiing in the Austrian Tyrol, and I love it. I feel at home in Prague for a limited period. I mean, I love coming to Prague. It still takes my breath away. But although I'm very happy in Prague, and I come to Prague 3 or 4 times a year, I don't think I would like to live here permanently. Up to a month or 6 weeks, perhaps. But I think I would miss the openness to the world that you get in England.
Ewald Ozers, thank you very much indeed.
And thank you.
That was the translator Ewald Ozers talking to me in 2001. He died last month at the age of 94. To end, here is his translation of Miroslav Holub's short poem, Death of a Sparrow. Ewald Ozers had a sparrow-like sprightliness himself that I think makes this poem rather apt. Death of a Sparrow. A sparrow's death is quite tiny, grey, with minute, wiry claws, and dust, and the end of hopping is calling now, and the empty air is closing its eyes and calling now. Mother is picking over the thinnest, good-night squeak and calling. A shadow is flying up and calling. Surely we're not staying here, roars the setting sun. Quick, soon there'll be decay. All the world's tenderness instantly requests. Let's go. And at that moment, it just isn't possible.